Okay, so I thought we would just talk a little bit along the lines of our Haftorah plan to talk about the important Haftorah of the Shabbos that gives the Shabbos its name, Shabbos Shuvah. So we read a combination of a number of Nevi'im in order to create our Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah. I think I'll just focus for a few minutes on one very important line that we find in the Haftorah, the phrase "Kechu imachem dvarim v'shuvu ad Hashem," that you should take words with you. So what does that mean, take words with you? So just to focus on two interpretations. One interpretation is that it's a reference to vidui, that we know that vidui is one of the chelkei hatshuva. It's always raised concerning the Rambam, that the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva seems to put so much emphasis on vidui that it sounds like he says that that's the mitzvah. That the mitzvah is when one wants to do tshuva, shei yisvada. And that prompted a number of achronim to suggest that maybe according to the Rambam, there is no directive of tshuva, there's no mitzvah of tshuva per se, but there is a mitzvah of vidui. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that was very difficult to say. He pointed out various indications, including Psukim and Parshas Nitzavim, that certainly sound like there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and it's simply very difficult to imagine that tshuva is not actually a mitzvah. So rather, he suggested that the notion is that even though tshuva is certainly a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that takes place internally. It's the mitzvah shebelev, and the Torah has to operate through rules. There are actions that you do or that you're not supposed to do. And if there is a mitzvah that's targeted at the inside, at an emotion or at something similar, so then we have to separate ma'isa ha-mitzvah and the kiyum ha-mitzvah. That the kiyum ha-mitzvah will actually be belev, but the ma'isa ha-mitzvah might be something else. So therefore, when it comes to tshuva, so tshuva is an internal transformation, and that's certainly a mitzvah, as the Rav understood, but it can't be commanded directly. So therefore, we need to have some type of external tool that can be expected to provoke the internal reaction, and therefore vidui serves that purpose. That vidui is the maisa ha-mitzvah that will likely provoke us to examine where we're at. If we confess that which we have fallen short in, so hopefully that will push us to cheshbon ha-nefesh that is equal to tshuva. That's one suggestion. There is another suggestion. Rav Yerucham Olshan mentions the name of some earlier svarim, the suggestion that even though when we talk about tshuva, so we talk about three chelke ha-tshuva, at least, really depends on who you ask. Rabbeinu Yonah has many, many more parts, and others count things differently. But commonly we talk about three chelke ha-tshuva. There is the charata, there is the vidui, and there is the kabbalah al-ha'asid. So the explanation here is that even though all of those are part of what we call tshuva in the composite, but it's only vidui that can be looked at as the mitzvah of tshuva. Because when it comes to charata, charata is not actually a commandment. Charata is simply a logical response. You know, when you realize that you've done things that have put you in a bad place, So then you feel charata. We can't really say that you do charata as a mitzvah. And Kabbalah Lo'asid especially says the idea that you don't go back to the Avera. So that's not because of tshuva. That was always necessary. If the Avera is an Avera, so then you're never allowed to do it. So it doesn't become prohibited because you're doing tshuva from it. It was prohibited already. So even though, yes, it's important for tshuva that there be a Kabbalah al Hasid and Aziva Sachet, but that's not created by tshuva. So when we look at the mitzvah that tshuva obligates, we're left with just vidur. That's how he suggests. But there is another approach to this whole phrase, kuchuim machem dvarim, and it's very important for us now also. There is a stira that many have pointed out that last Shabbos, which Parshas Nitzavim is often Shabbos Shuvah also, but not this year. So in last week's parasha, we read that ki ha-mitzvah hazos lo niflesi, that this mitzvah is not too wondrous for you, is not beyond you. So what is this mitzvah? Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, what is this mitzvah? So according to the Ramban and the Sforno and others, what is the mitzvah? It's the mitzvah of tshuva. And that's again referenced in Parshas Nitzavim, as the Salvechik had pointed out. So that's what we're talking about when we say ki ha-mitzvah hazos. So a number of Svarim ask that it doesn't seem to be the right answer, because the Gemara Maseches Erevin and Daf Nun Hey, the Gemara already tells us what the pasuk, what that pasuk is referring to. It's referring to Talmud Torah. So which is it? Is it Talmud Torah or is it Tshuva? So Rav Aaron Kotler is quoted as suggesting that maybe it's both. When we talk about tshuva, so we find that tshuva has two versions. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, it seems to be a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, that on the one hand he says, Gedola tshuva, tshuva is amazing because through tshuva, one's intentional averos, zidonon shalo, Nasalo ki shkagos, can be turned into accidental misdeeds. While the other statement is gedola tshuva, tshuva is amazing because through tshuva we find that zidonos nasalo ki zachios, that your intentional averos can turn into zchuyos, into sources of merit. So the first is a good deal, but the second is an even better deal. So which is it? So the Gemara draws the conclusion, says one is tshuva meira and one is tshuva me'ava. So it's very nice, but it's also very frustrating, because, okay, so that second one sounds like a really good deal, so let's order me some of that. I'll take some tshuva me'ava. But what do you do to do tshuva me'ava? It's hard enough to know how to do tshuva in the plain version. I think we probably mentioned at some point Rav Kook's statement in the beginning of the Oras HaTshuva, where he says that tshuva is both the easiest and the hardest mitzvah. And it's the easiest because it seems like it can take place in a second. As the Gemara says, if somebody is Mekadesh and Isha, Menash and Yitzadik, we have to worry that it may possibly at least be good Kedushin, because Shema hir her tshuva b'daito, maybe he had thoughts of tshuva, so it seems like it just takes a second, and it's free, and it's easy. And yet, at the same time, it's the hardest mitzvah, because you never really know if you have successfully accomplished it. if I ask you after Rosh Hashanah, did you fulfill the mitzvah of shofar? So you could probably tell me yes or no. If I ask you after Sukkot, did you sit in the sukkah? You can tell me if you did or not. If I ask you after Yom Kippur, did you do tshuva? So you say, I hope, I tried, I think, maybe. I did the best I can. So we don't really know exactly how to do tshuva. We mentioned a few minutes ago that we have a notion of vidui and charata and kabbalah asid, but it's all a little bit hard to hold on to. So now you tell me that there's this other version which has even greater benefits. So that's beautiful, but it's frustrating, because how do you do that kind of tshuva? And to add to it, the Menachas Chinuch suggests that tshuva me'ava has even more power, because we have a notion of the dalel chiluke kapara, that different averos require more than just tshuva. They require Yom Kippur, Yisurin, maybe Misa. Depends on how chomer the avera is. Yet, suggests in Menachas Chinuch, based on the language in Yerushalmi, that tshuva me'ava can leapfrog over all of that, and one gets kapara right away. So that's all very frustrating, because how do you get this tshuva? What do you have to do? So Rav Aaron Cutler suggested that when we find that Kiyam Mitzvah Hazos is a reference both to tshuva in the Rishonim, in the Mefarshim, and to Talmud Torah in the Gemara, maybe the message is that they're really both the same, and that we are talking here about Talmud Torah as a method for tshuva, as a vehicle for tshuva. And if that's the case, so then what kind of tshuva is it? So then maybe what we're looking at here is tshuva me'ava. This is how you do tshuva me'ava, which would seem to fit, because we find that tshuva and Talmud Torah have a lot in common, and Talmud Torah is an expression of avas Hashem. And there's a discussion about this. Rabbi Shlomo Warman has a discussion about this in one of his svarim. Rabbi Zolti has a discussion about this in the Sefer Mishnas Yaveis. And they note that, first of all, when it comes to Torah Lishma, we want to find the Rambam's discussion about what Torah Lishma is, about how it represents a Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that, surprisingly, is in Mishneh Torah in Hilchos Tshuva. So what's it doing there? Why not Hilchos Talmud Torah? So they explain that it's not Hilchos Talmud Torah because it's not a requirement of how you learn. It's in Hilchos Tshuva because it is necessary to reach that point in order to have the Avas Hashem expressed that accomplishes a certain type of tshuva. And it seems like it does that in two ways. So one way is that you have a common journey here. Now, a person who's involved in Torah study is looking to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the person who's doing tshuva is looking to bridge a gap, as the Rambam describes, that here sin has interfered, has created this hefsek between the individual and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he does tshuva in order to bring the pieces back together again. So both the Baal Tshuva and the one involved in learning are both trying to come closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Talmud Torah is the common path, is a path to tshuva. But presumably it's also because Torah is transformational. We believe that Torah has an effect on the soul, and it makes you into a different person. And therefore, it's effective as tshuva in that sense, because that's also what we're trying to do. and we're trying to do so in a positive sense. And in that way, Soloveitchik noted that it makes sense that we talk about Zidonus, Nasanlo, either Kishkagas or Kizachios, because, as he noted, there are different attitudes a person can take when he wants to do tshuva. But on the one hand, he can say, all right, everything until now has been a mistake. I want to just cut off my past. I want to just start all over again. Okay, so fine, that's what you get. So Zidonus, Nasanlo, Kishkagos, all of your intentional avarice don't count against you. It's as if they were a mistake. And you get the slate wiped clean. But there's another attitude you could take. You could say that, listen, I do want to do better. I do want to change. But I'm not necessarily going to cut myself off completely from everything that I've ever been. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to use that as an energy, as a battery, to move forward. So then it makes sense that we should say Nasanlo Kizachios, because he's actually making merit. He's actually making good things out of the mistakes of the past. And that's really what we're talking about when we say Tshuva Me Ahava. If this is the Mahal, if this is particularly important, and this is something we've been stressing from day one, right? This is particularly important for us as Bnei Yeshiva to see our Torah study not merely as something intellectually interesting, but to see it as part of how we transform ourselves into better people. And it's striking that this pasuk we mentioned from last week's parasha, Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, the idea being that Talmud Torah and Tshuva as one is lo neflesi, it's not too wondrous, and it's not up in the sky, it's not across the ocean. So the Gemara in Erevin over there, Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara comments, when the Torah says that it's not up in Shemayim, what's the point? The point is that were it to be in Shemayim, then you'd have to go up there and get it. So what does that mean, practically speaking? How would we go up and get it? And it doesn't matter anyway, because lo b'Shemayim. So I think what the Gemara is telling us is that we have to understand that this notion, and if we see this notion as personal growth through Torah study, that is not optional. That's not something you can live without. That is crucial to your mission in this world. So much so that if we're only accessible by going up to the heavens, you'd have to do that. Now, we're lucky we don't have to do that. It is here. But that's just how important it is in order for us to fulfill our mission here. So there are those who suggest that this notion of Talmud Torah as tshuva, that's what the Haftorah is getting at, that kichu imachem dvarim, that you should take words, that it means the words of Torah study, and then take the Torah study, take it with you, and make that the tool of your tshuva. That you should return to God through this. We also have a tradition that really Yom Kippur is the time of Tshuva Meira, and then Sukkot, with all of its positive mitzvot and all of its simcha, that's the time of Tshuva Me'ahava. And perhaps we could suggest that that's how the minig developed in recent centuries, the whole question of why it is that Simchas Torah is observed at the end of Sukkot. What's the connection? So perhaps the idea is that since Sukkot is the time of Tshuva Me'ahava, and Tshuva Me'ahava is fulfilled through love of Torah, so perhaps in the minhag of Klal Yisrael here is that we take the expression of Avas HaTorah, we take this whole notion of Simchas Torah, and we associate it with Sukkot B'davka because of this theme of Tshuva Me'ahava, because we see Talmud Torah and our love for Talmud Torah specifically as a vehicle to a complete realization of what the Kadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us. Okay, so maybe we'll stop there, but I think those are two important interpretations of what this pasuk is suggesting. And it should have an impact as we listen to this Haftorah over the course of Shabbos and as we look towards Yom Kippur in a few short days, that the notion that we can transform ourselves and that we must do that is very powerfully on our minds, and it should be a bracha that we should be successful in making that a reality.
Amen.
Okay.